You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
I've got stuff happening in the background, so hopefully everybody can hear me well. Anyway, I just wanted to welcome everyone to the show. We every Thursday at 7 o'clock, we take on women's-related issues and family issues, like relationships and marriage and dating, health, fashion, makeup, hairstyles, all kinds of stuff. I want to thank everyone who's tuning in. We did change nights of the show a while back, so I know everybody's probably readjusting to the new day, but we are on Thursdays, every Thursday at 7 p.m. I'm Lisa Tarvis. I am one of your hosts, and the beautiful Daria Ann DiGiovanni is on the other end. Hey, Daria.
Hey, Lisa. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, I'm just we're gonna actually take on a really cool issue, I think, because although I'm not done yet, I've already raised three kids. One, my youngest is 16, and so, you know, obviously I'm not done, but she's a teenager. And one thing that is really hard in parenting is teenagers. Really hard. Teenagers are difficult, and teenage girls are complicated, very, very complicated. And I think that's why, you know, so much of, and that's my dog. That's just great. The one thing that I didn't want to happen was him bark. Anyway, so we're going to be talking tonight with Kelly Tonelli, who Kelly actually is an author. She's done some great stuff. I'm gonna read her bio, but she has a book out called Life Lessons for Teenage Girls, and it's for the teenage girl, actually. I think Life Lessons for the Teenage Girl: Quotes, Inspiration, and Advice for Women by Women. And that's actually coming out. It's not out yet, actually. It says it's coming out on the 11th. So that's just next week that she'll have that book out. So that's exciting. It's coming out on 11/11/14. Oh, my gosh, you couldn't pick a better day except 11/11/11, and that's past. So you can't really do that.
Well, it's also Veterans Day. So
is it really? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, and is it a Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday, and actually, as a matter of fact, if I may just get a quick plug here.
Yeah, I was going to say, your show's on Tuesdays. Wait a minute.
Yeah, well, John Gresham, who is our Military Monday host, in lieu of doing a live show on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, he's going to co-host with me on Tuesday for RightStream Tuesday in honor of Veterans Day, and we're going to have some veterans organizations on, and hopefully some veterans. I've been tweeting the vets that I know and talking to them on Facebook, and I'm hoping we'll get a lot of people calling in. But the focus of the show is really going to be to honor our veterans and also share with our audience ways in which we as individuals can help them and express our gratitude in meaningful ways. So that'll be Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. John D. Gresham and I will be co-hosting RightStream Tuesday.
That's really cool, and I love that you guys are doing that. And it's interesting because I just read a statistic somewhere. You know me and my research and statistics, and I'm always looking stuff up. And I just read something saying that like the biggest homeless or the second biggest homeless population are veterans, and that just makes me want to throw up a little bit. I mean, seriously, when I read that, I'm like, you are kidding me. We're not taking care of the people that are fighting for this country, and you know, when they get home. To the point that they're on the street, that we don't have, you know, it just blew my mind and really kind of actually upset me a little bit, I have to be honest, because it just wasn't something that, I don't know, just every once in a while, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world, but every once in a while you almost feel shame, you know, because we're not doing enough. We're not doing the right thing. We're not investing our money in the right places, and that's really irritating.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about that. That's one of the issues we will be discussing on Tuesday, because there's a lot of great private organizations. My belief is private charities do much more. They're much more effective at helping people, and certainly that veterans included. And they're much more efficient, and I believe that people really, in a private charity, your heart is in the right place. And so we're going to talk to some reputable charities on Tuesday who are really trying, you know, because I agree with you. I mean, that's completely unacceptable, totally unacceptable.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool that you guys are combining, because both of you have such great followings and you're both very proud Americans. I mean, the both of you are very very into you know, the veteran stuff and things of that sort. So I think it's really cool that you're going to be combining that to do that show on Tuesday. So I'll make sure I promote that too, because that's I don't know, that's just important. Every once in a while something really pokes me and I get angry about, and when I read that, I was just like, I just couldn't believe it. I was stunned.
Yeah. And, you know, these are people that put their lives on the line and they get paid like $12, $13 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get into all of that right now, but there are some other people who don't do things that are quite as dangerous and they're whining about they don't get paid enough money for what they do. Well, I'm sorry, you know, you can't really put a price tag on this. And so, yeah, we're going to keep it real positive, but we are going to talk about ways that, you know, you and we as individuals can do our part locally. And that's one thing I even learned through my work with Maureen Gucci, with the Savvy Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer. The importance of local charities, kind of like, you know, charity begins at home. So we're going to identify ways that, you know, we can all make a difference in our local communities. That's really where it all starts. So it's going to be a really good show. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to want to listen to that. That's awesome. And getting back to our guest, Kelly's book is also coming out on Veterans Day, so that's really cool too. I didn't know that was Veterans Day. I don't know why the date is the 6th. Yeah, I don't know why I'm all screwed up. Wait a minute, the 6th and the 7th. Oh yeah, it would be. Okay. See, I had to do the math in my head. A little slow with math. Anyway, let me read Kelly's bio and bring her on the air. Kelly Tonelli is a clinical psychologist working in private practice with patients who are experiencing life transitions, many of whom are teenage girls. She happily relocated from Michigan to Southern California to attend Pepperdine University. I hope I said that right. It's not Pepperdine, I don't know. University, and fell in love with the sunshine. Snow is cold, in parentheses. We were talking to her about that before we went on air. Yes, snow is cold. She's been fortunate to have spent time working and learning at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles before going into private practice. She divides her time between her practice, writing, spending time with her husband, and driving her daughter to dance class. So I want to bring Kelly on now. Kelly, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're glad you were able to make it, because this is another really important topic, and I know I say that almost every show, but it's, you know, we do try to pick some important topics and you know, some big some things that just matter. And I find that my teenage girls, I have three kids. The oldest is a boy, he's 21. My middle one is 20 and in college, and all of them live at home, by the way. And then I have a 16-year-old. And I got to tell you, my girls are way more complicated than my son, and are way more complicated than I was as a teenager. And I think even my parents would agree with that. I don't know if it's technology. I don't know if it's just the times. I don't know. But it blows my mind how complicated their lives are. So, you know, that's one of the things that really attracted me to you when, you know, we were looking at guests, because of the fact that I think this is such an important topic. And so I'm really excited to be able to talk about it tonight. You know, and let's start out with just asking you something real, real basic. Like, what made you want to be a psychologist? What got you into that field?
You know, it's funny. This is one of those good mama stories. When I was maybe 8 or 9, I had decided I was going to be a psychologist. And
wow.
I couldn't decide actually at that time, did I want to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist? Not that I necessarily knew the difference, but I was struggling. So what my mom did is she helped me make a bunch of surveys. And then there was questions about where did you go to college, do you like your job, those kinds of things. And we looked up psychologists and psychiatrists in the phone book and mailed them out. And you would be amazed. 80%, 90% of them filled them out and sent them back.
Wow, really?
I know, how amazing, right? And this is before the internet, so we actually had to do legwork, and it wasn't email.
Right.
We actually had to go to the post office.
Yeah. Remember paper?
Yeah.
We used to have to use paper and pen and fold it up and lick the stamp and address the envelope,
yes.
And we'd have to wait for a reply. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my mom actually typed it out. She had to use a typewriter because there were not computers when I was 8 years old, at least not ones that you had in your house.
Right.
So, you know, we sent it off, and based on those responses and based on what they liked and didn't like about their job, I decided to become a psychologist.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. And, you know, I didn't even know what a psychologist was at 8 or 9. So I was too busy putting my baby dolls to bed and things. I don't know what I was doing at 8 or 9. I don't know how I knew either. Well, no, that's really cool. And something that I'm sure has been incredibly not only hard and challenging and all that, but probably really rewarding for you too.
I really do love it. Of course, you learn and you grow, and there's days that are harder than others, like with any job. But, you know, more often than not, I love what I do.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
That is awesome. So, Kelly, what type of clients do you typically work with in your practice?
Well, as you said in the bio, a lot of the people I work with are teenage girls, but that's not exclusively who I work with. But mostly I would say, you know, late teens through young adults. And typically it's people reporting symptoms of anxiety, depression, things like that as they kind of transition between being a kid and being a grown-up. And some people, that transition happens later. In which case, I don't see them until they're a little bit older, but they're still dealing with that transition and the struggles that are part of that.
And you're noticing, is it me? Are you noticing what I was saying earlier about how complicated teenage girls are now?
Well, you know, and I think I was a little complicated even back when. I was a complicated teenager, but I think everything is exacerbated. I think technology is part of it. Social media is part of it. They have so much more exposure to things. They're so much more exposed. And so I think that adds a whole other layer to kind of their experience. Their angst can be shared worldwide as opposed to ours was at most in your school.
Right. That's actually a really good point, because, I mean, their access, and, you know, you get to a point where, you know, I have so many friends that when my kids were, you know, when my other two were, you know, the age my daughter is now, they would say, well, why don't you just not let them go on Facebook? Why don't you just not let them do this? Why do you allow this and that? And I'm like, you have no idea. Your kids are 3 and 4 years old, and you're still controlling when they go to the bathroom. I'm like, it's not that simple. When you're trying to give them the wings to leave the nest, you're trying to help them with that transition, and some of that is giving them responsibility that's dangerous.
Well, it's kind of like saying, if you're worried about your child getting in a car accident, don't let them drive.
Yeah.
When in fact, that doesn't help them at all, because eventually they're going to drive a car, and if they don't have the experience and guidance of having learned under you, they're more likely to crash later.
Right.
So my hope is, you know, if you choose to let your child do Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all of that, there's some kind of guidance and supervision going on, just like there is when the child's learning to drive, so that we can help them to kind of learn appropriate skills, set appropriate boundaries, and things like that.
Right. And that's important. I mean, that's, you know, I kept saying was, I hope that, you know, the values that I've instilled on my kids, I said it then, I still say it now, you know, I hope that the bottom line values are things that they take to learn and to learn and react to situations in a good way. I mean, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. You know, I don't know what else you can really do. And I think for you, you probably had such a great message that, you know, you needed to talk about, you needed to express, that you put it in actual words so that people can buy the book. So what made you decide to actually do it? I mean, was it just getting out to a larger amount of people, what you had to say?
Well, you know, that was part of it. But what I was noticing with the teen girls with whom I was working is they didn't listen to the parents, typically, not all of them, but typically because they felt like their parents were either too old or couldn't understand or couldn't relate to what was going on for them. So they tended to discount their parents. Then when it came to psychologists, teachers, things like that, the same thing would happen because we were all, unfortunately, older than them. But what they would do is listen to their friends who either knew as little as them or less, unfortunately, so they wouldn't necessarily get great advice,
right.
Or they would turn to celebrities.
Right.
Well, celebrities have a lot of good things to say, but that typically doesn't sell magazines. So the things that I was finding in magazines and the things that my clients were talking to me about were things like how to get the guy, how to lose weight, how to, you know, so it was very superficial kinds of things. So I was wondering what would happen if I could tap into some of these same famous and successful women and ask them to give kind of real advice for teenage girls. What would they wish that someone had told them when they were 16, 17, 18 years old in hopes that the teenage girls, that like the ones I see, would be more receptive to that information because they know the source, they trust the source by virtue of their fame, and therefore it would be more palatable for them.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, that's a really good way to handle that because you're right. The teenagers do respond really well to someone who they admire. You know, they're going to listen to them. And you know what? There are some incredible people out there that, you know, the incredible stars out there that know that they've got this. You know, these people following them, these people, these kids that they're influencing, and totally do a fantastic job of living their life in the way that they want to show kids is right. But there are some that just don't. And those are the ones that, as a parent, scare us, I know. And you have a daughter too, right?
Me, yes. I have a 9-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Well, yeah, and there's plenty of celebrities out there who say things like, I'm not a role model, I'm just a musician,
right.
I'm an actor, I'm a whatever,
right.
But by virtue of being in their faces, they are a role model.
Right.
And it's up to them, are they demonstrating positive behaviors or negative behaviors?
Right. I think that's so, so, so true. Because it's just, I mean, I've noticed it with, I mean, you know, there are some people out there, like Miley Cyrus, for instance, I think I've talked about her on other shows. She was Hannah friggin' Montana, okay? she was Hannah Montana. Every little girl in the world knew who Hannah Montana was, wanted to be Hannah Montana, and watched Hannah Montana show, you know? And then she became Miley Cyrus, and I get she had to transition out of that little kid thing. I get that she needed to, you know, she needed to change her career to an adult career. I totally understood that. But hello, has she completely lost her mind? I mean, you know, I it's just like she went from, and maybe it's just me because I'm older now and time goes so much faster, but it seems like she went from point A to point Z in like 3 seconds, flat, you know?
But do you notice that tends to happen sometimes when you've got, like, especially like a Disney child star?
Right.
As they're transitioning to adulthood, there's this fear that they won't be anything beyond this child star. So they go so far to the other extreme to prove, look, I'm a grown-up now, look, you have to look at me differently. It happened with Britney Spears. All of a sudden she was dancing
right.
with snakes.
Yep.
Christina Aguilera was doing Dirty and all of that
yep.
stuff. So it's like they have to go to such an extreme. Now what most of them do is then bounce back to a more kind of central position. Britney Spears
right.
doesn't, maybe that part of that's because she's on conservatorship, but Christina Aguilera, they all kind of tended to then gravitate a little bit closer to center. They don't stay way out there. And I'm right.
And
hope is that eventually Miley Cyrus will get there, and she won't feel like she needs to stick her tongue out all the time.
Well, that and the naked on the wrecking ball thing, that's, I think, what pushed me over the edge, because that's a really great song. It really is a great song. It's got,
mm-hmm.
it's got. I love the lyrics, and she really has to be, she could be swinging on the, why can't she have clothes on? Be on the wrecking ball, that's fine, but put some clothes on, for God's sake. Ugh.
And I couldn't agree with you more, because my daughter is definitely one of those kids that adored Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
And she was about 7 when this transition happened, and she
yeah.
was so confused.
Oh, I bet. And it, like I said, it seemed to me that it happened really fast. And, like, for, you know, with respect to Britney Spears, not that I want to get on a celebrity kick here, but, you know, for her, you know, to her credit, she just kind of disappeared for a while. You know, she had her public meltdown, lost her mind, get it, okay? And then she kind of just disappeared and then came back like a grown-up. You know what I mean? And
I agree.
You know, and so I respect that. I get it. I mean, I do. I understand. Christina Aguilera, I don't ever remember her having a meltdown necessarily, and I love her. I mean, I think she's a great role model to girls now. You know, in most ways, I really do. But you know, it's just interesting. It's just interesting.
No, and I think you're right. Christina's great now, but there was a period of time where she was singing, I think the album was Dirty or the song, where she was naked and fat, and she was covered in body oil, and her hair was, like, unwashed looking, and I don't think she had a meltdown. I just think she swung so far to the extreme and then had to kind of backtrack.
Right, right, and sometimes the best thing to do, Lindsay Lohan, another perfect example, just go away. Get out of everybody's face for a while. And you know what I mean? Just go away for a while. You got to just disappear and come back grown up so people can say, okay, you've had enough time. You know, if you really do have your stuff together, great. Now, there's been enough time. If we're still remembering all the stupid things that they did, and, you know, that's still gonna stick there, too, a little bit.
Sure.
Kelly, let me ask you, what is the age range for your book? What age group is it targeted to? Because we're talking about all of these things, and I'm wondering at what age we should be trying to, you know, influence these girls in a positive way.
Well, and, you know, I would say mostly like 14 through 20. And younger girls can appreciate it. It's just some of the topics may not be as appropriate for them because there is discussion of, like, sexual relationships and things like that. So it's really up to the parents or whoever's purchasing the book, whether or not they think it's most appropriate for their child and what age that would be. Though I will say I've had girls in their 20s, college students who've read it, who told me it still pertains to them completely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Right. And how did you go about choosing, because we talked a lot about celebrities and role models, how did you go about choosing the contributors to your book?
Good question. Well, first I was an idiot. And I thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, I made my dream list. And I did, this shows my age, I did snail mail letters to their representatives. So whether that be their attorney or their PR person or an agent or a manager, and I sent it that way. Well, no one responded because no one responds to snail mail anymore.
Right.
So all of a sudden I realized, okay, this isn't working, and I started emailing or tweeting, you know, those kinds of things, and all of a sudden I'm getting all of these responses. Now, how did I decide who to send it to? Well, it was kind of a shotgun approach because it wasn't going to be up to me to limit who was going to contribute to this book. I wanted it to be women of all ages, women of all ethnicities, sexual orientations. I wanted someone in this book that any reader could identify with. I wanted them to have at least one person in this book where they can go, okay, she's kind of like me. So there was a whole lot of people contacted at first. And I also didn't limit it to only people who had only done the perfect thing their whole life. Because when you look at people like Christina Aguilera or something like that who may have made mistakes, doesn't mean that she's not going to have good things to say about what she wishes someone had told her.
Right, because she learned from those mistakes. I mean, just like we all do,
absolutely.
She learned from them, and that gives you wisdom, and wisdom is what I think guides everyone.
Definitely, and I was getting a little flack from my editors at first about people that I was contacting. And their concern was, I don't know that I would want this person advising my child. I'm like, well, first of all, you know, I'm obviously going to screen what I get, but I really want it to be open to anybody who's ever been a teenage girl ever.
Right, right, and that's fair. That's a great. I mean, that's all of us. I mean, we've all been there, you know, and we've all got something to share from it. You know, I think that you know, some of the things that celebrities have been through, some of the things, you know, have just been a little more intense. Maybe they've experienced them in a more intense way because more people were watching, you know, you know, it's still wisdom. It's still there. I'm wondering, like, okay, so when you send out these requests, did you get anything weird back? Did you get anything that wasn't, you know, wasn't really, was not exactly what you were looking for?
I did. There were a few that never made it into the book because they weren't necessarily the most appropriate. I won't name names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I did get a few things about, you know, that it was okay to do drugs while you're young or, you know, sleep around while you can and those types of things.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no. I'm not going to put that one in there. No, it was okay if they talked about, you know, exploring your sexuality and knowing yourself as a person and all of those kinds of things, but I didn't want there to be any directive that was very clearly sending someone in the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you mean like a Cosmo, like something you might see on the cover of Cosmo, how to, you know, insert whatever, you know, how to do this versus...
insert a
whatever. Right. Right. And, you know, there were a few that, you know, you don't need a man, and it was all about taking care of yourself, but it was very detailed. And I was like, no, okay, that's not the direction I'm looking to go. Right. This is not a Cosmo book. There are some Cosmo
right.
section kinds of things, but it's not Cosmo.
Right.
I'm very
right.
happy to hear that, actually. So,
yeah.
You know, now, as a you know, as a writer, one thing to be the writer, but, you know, did your editors have any concerns about anyone that you included in the book?
They did, and I'm trying to think. Okay, I guess it's okay to say this. Jenny McCarthy is in the book. Love her, adore her. I think she's fantastic.
She's
but
gorgeous.
My editor
too.
Came back.
My God, she's
beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Oh my God, gorgeous.
Stunning.
Gorgeous,
just
hilarious.
Stunning.
She's amazing.
Oh my God, so funny.
She's
yep.
amazing. So she's in the book. She sent it. She contributed. What she said was meaningful. It was great. Her contribution was amazing. But then I got a letter back from one of my editors saying, I don't think she should be in the book because she's posed nude. And the editor said that was sending the wrong message. I shouldn't allow anybody who is posed nude in the book. I can understand the concern, but again, I didn't want this to be, I'm going to give you advice from only people who have never made a mistake. And I don't even know that she would say posing nude is a mistake. That's
no.
Really, you know, I think she owns it. I think she is proud of it. I think
but
she would never...
She wasn't 16. I mean, she wasn't a
no.
little kid. She was an adult when she made that decision.
Absolutely. And I think she's proud of that decision. I don't think she would call it a mistake. So
right.
I didn't want to be the person who is sitting in judgment of how somebody else is living their life, and I'm determining who is worthy of advising teenage girls.
Right.
And, again, what she said was meaningful, it was important, I liked it, and I wanted it in the book.
Yeah, I honestly appreciate that, and you know what, and it is your book, and Daria goes through this more than probably anyone, because she does ghostwriting, and she has to curb her opinions so much of the time, you know, as a ghostwriter, about a topic that she may feel passionate about, but it's not under her name, it's coming out, you know, it's somebody else owns the book, it's somebody else's book. So that's, you know, I think that's great that you took the initiative to say, I, you know, this is important. This needs to be part of it.
Absolutely. And again, she had great advice.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kelly, did you win that? Did you win that argument? Then I take it.
Did I win the argument? I did. She's in the book.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Were there any contributors that you chose to leave out of the book, though, for any reason?
Well, and those again are the ones where I didn't think what they were saying was appropriate. And it wasn't a judgment based on who they were as a person, how they lived their lives, or anything like that. But, you know, again, anybody whose advice was Cosmo or,
right.
you know, very pro-drug use or anything that I felt like might be destructive, those I didn't include. And it wasn't, again, it was more about what was psychologically healthy. As a psychologist, I made an opinion based on whether what the advice they were giving, was I comfortable with that being included in my book?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great way to do it, though. I mean, you know, you have an overall vision of what it is that you want this book to be about. And, you know, and you should be the one that makes those calls. So I get that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short commercial break here. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes after a couple promos. And we'll, Kelly, hold on. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @RightStream and #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast. A show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
Honor Flight provides, at no cost to the veteran, the opportunity to see the memorial that the American people have built on our National Mall. And I think that there's probably no better organization out there today that can provide something to somebody for nothing.
If anyone wants to see the importance of Honor Flight, look into the veterans' eyes and how they tear up when they are brought here.
When they walk into that memorial and they see that their friends will never be forgotten, that the sacrifice that they paid will always be cherished, always revered, always honored by this nation, they're taken back by that.
The best program I've ever been associated with. You know, we're all in the same fraternity. If it hadn't been for these guys, I don't know where we'd be today or what language we'd speak.
I say about the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, if it weren't for these guys, we wouldn't have to worry about terrorists today. We'd already be occupied. We'd already be a different country. So we owe them a lot.
We're racing against a clock. In another 5 to 7 years, it'll be a moot point. They will be gone. We're working as fast as we can, but we need so much support from so many people to make these dreams a reality. This is probably the last chapter in their lives. And for some, it's literally the last paragraph of their lives. What a way to end their stories.
This has been one of the really great days of my life.
I'm sure glad I was able to live long enough to see it.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Rightstream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Rightstream Radio Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. You're speaking today. You're hearing me, Lisa Tarvis, and Darianne DiGiovanni, and we're talking with author and psychologist Kelly Tonelli, who actually is going to have a book releasing on the 11th, which is Tuesday. Life Lessons for the Teenage Girl: Quotes, Inspiration, and Advice for Women by Women. So we were just talking about it, and I think, you know, one of the things that really impressed me, Kelly, is that you are actually donating half of the profits that you receive from the sale of your book to Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, What made you decide to do that? Why that hospital?
Well, I was fortunate enough to have trained at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. I did a one-year psych internship at the end of my program, and then I stayed for 2 years as a postdoc fellow and then as a faculty member. And I was able to witness firsthand the amazing work they do with children, teens, and their families. And I wanted this book not just to be about, you know, whether or not it makes money. I wanted it to have a bigger purpose. So I was trying to figure out which charity to give it to, and it just made sense that Children's would be the one. Also, I'm asking very busy women to contribute to a book in which they're getting nothing. They didn't get paid. I didn't give them swag. There was nothing. They did this purely out of their own concerns for teenage girls or interest in helping them. And so I thought it would make it easier for them to know that part of that contribution, the money, would go to a charity that would help children, as opposed to do all this work for me and I'm going to pocket money.
Right, right. Yeah, that's awesome, and what a great choice. All the children's hospitals. I mean, I live in PA, close to Philly, and you know we have CHOP here, and I can't tell you. I mean, I have a neighbor who just went through a horrible situation where her 3-year-old was diagnosed with leukemia, and wow, what an incredible group of people at CHOP. I mean, just these children's hospitals, and I know that there are some are obviously more well known than others. But what incredible people, and what it takes to work at a hospital like that and see what happens to children when you just don't understand what's going on. And I think I really have a lot of respect for the fact that you did choose that, and not to only donate half your profits, but to choose a children's hospital like that. I'm sure that gives everyone who contributed a warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, that they were part of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I now am in Orange County. And so the consideration, we also have CHOP down here. So it's the Children's Hospital of Orange County. So you're right. They are amazing hospitals. They do amazing work. And the people who work at the hospital work tirelessly to make what could be a very traumatic experience as positive and as warm as possible.
Yeah, that's great.
Kelly, what do you think are the biggest problems you're facing teenage girls today? I mean, and are these things that you included in the book? I mean, we've been talking about the subject matter, but I just want to add, you know, we talked a little bit about technology and social media, but I'm wondering if there are some things that are just timeless, or, you know, just get your opinion on what are some of the major issues that they're dealing with today in the 21st century.
Well, and, you know, I think some of those, you're right, are timeless things. Some of the things they're struggling with are the same things that we all struggled with. Issues of identity, you know, who am I, you know, what is my place in the world, where am I going, issues of trust, who do I trust, can I even trust myself, what about my friends or my parents and things like that, what makes up a healthy relationship. You know, teenagers' dating relationships run the gamut from, you know, healthy to very unhealthy, and so knowing when that is very hard when you don't have a lot of experience and you're not necessarily at full maturity yet.
Right. That's really true. And I mean, like I said, I've watched it with my own girls, and I can tell you, you know, we've had everything happen here, and with my son's girlfriend, you know, just seeing what has, you know, what they've been through and what I mean, we've had things from people cutting themselves to abusive relationships. I mean, then these are teenagers. I mean, these are teenagers, and they're living this grown up world. And it drives me crazy. And I'm sure when I was a teenager, I felt like I could take on the world and all of that too. But wow, they're handling some very, very serious topics.
Well, and then when you think of the component of technology at that same time, they're handling these very complicated topics with an audience that could be millions.
Right.
When we were younger, if you made a mistake, really only your classmates at school knew about it.
Right.
If you took a stupid picture, only the people who held it in their hand would ever know about it.
Yeah.
Them, exactly. If there's a picture, it can instantly go worldwide. If someone wants to make a comment about them, instantly, worldwide. And so when you've got impulsivity, in that kind of access and reach, very bad things can happen.
Right, right, absolutely. And I mean, I've definitely seen it in my under my own roof, so I mean, I can't even imagine what it could be like. And, you know, it's got to be affecting everyone with teenagers. And I think it's great that you did this. Are you planning on writing another book?
Well, it's funny because my daughter wanted to read this book. Again, she's 9.
Right.
So I explained to her that I would let her read certain sections of the book that I thought were appropriate for her, because I think it's fine for her to read about identity and self-esteem and all of those great things. I think are timeless. They can apply at any age. But anything that had to do with relationships or sexuality, she's not ready for. So then she wanted to know why I hadn't written a book for her. So the second book is going to happen. I'm actually in the middle of it. I've already got a bunch of people who have contributed to it. It's actually going to be geared towards teens. So it's going to be addressing a lot of these same issues, but at an age-appropriate level for those girls between, say, 9 and 13.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. That's a great idea because, I mean, those it's starting that young. I mean, I see kids that are girls and boys that are 13, 14 years old having sexual relationships already. And, you know, it breaks a parent's heart to hear this, but it's the truth. That's what's going on. Hopefully I don't think it's happening to everybody, but I've certainly seen, friends of my kids and things like that that were, you know, having sex way too early. And in my opinion, way too early, because I think it's a very grown-up, you know, it's got grown-up consequences. And when you have grown-up consequences, you should be a grown-up to deal with them, you know. But you're right, that's an important transition time. You'll notice who your daughter is today and who she is at 11 years old, you're going to notice a difference. And then between 11 and 13, another difference. You know what, it seems like 9, they're still little girls, and then 11, they're like preteens, and then at 13, they think they know everything. You know, they're all grown up.
You're 100% right. And also, you know, the tween book, it will deal with relationships somewhat, but it also will start having conversations about drugs and things like that, because we can have those conversations with them at an age-appropriate level when they're younger.
Right.
So,
right.
For instance, I remember when Michael Jackson died. My daughter heard about it at school or something like that, came home, asked what happened, gave her a very brief discussion about it, but then it led to a discussion of the dangers of drug use. Now, she was only maybe 4 or 5, but we could start planting the seed about not taking drugs.
Right.
When Charlie Sheen was having his
very public meltdown. Yeah.
It led to a discussion about things like that, about the dangers and what can happen if people abuse drugs.
Right.
So I think we could start having those kinds of conversations at any age. You just have to have the conversation at an age-appropriate level.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. I'm glad that's coming out. I don't have any tweens. I don't plan on ever having any more tweens, or teens for that matter. Once I've got one more to get through teenagehood, and then I'm good. Then I'll move on to even bigger problems, I'm sure, with my kids, because I think I always say the bigger the kid, the bigger the problems. So the older they get, the worse the problems get. But
I think they have less of them, but the problems are bigger. It's almost like, I don't know if your family celebrates Christmas, but when you're a little kid, you get a ton of presents because your presents are relatively inexpensive. But the older you get, the fewer presents you get because they're more expensive. They're bigger presents.
Problems
are the same kind of way with kids. When they're little, they have tons of problems. They need you to tie their shoes. They need you to help them go to the bathroom. They need you to help you do everything. As they get older, they have fewer problems that they need you with. But the ones they have are huge.
Are huge, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Great analogy.
You know, it is. That's a great analogy. And another great topic, and I'm not telling you how to write your book, and you probably already have this in mind, is the fact that there are so many blended families right now, and have them understand, you know, how to deal with the step parents and the stepsisters and brothers and half brothers and sisters and all of that too. That's a whole nother issue that kids are taking on, you know.
And you're 100% right. I was part of a blended family. I have half siblings and all of those types of things. And it definitely comes with its own complications. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's important too, because I feel like I give advice to so many of my friends, because my kids were 3 and 4 when I got divorced, and I feel like I give, like, my friends that are just going through it now, I'm constantly giving them advice on, you know, on this blending of families thing, because it's actually one of the hardest things I think you can ever go through. It's really hard to blend families. And I don't think, you know, it sounds like, oh, you're just getting a bigger family. Yeah, it's not really that easy. It's a lot more complicated than that.
Well, absolutely. Everyone starts to think that a blended family becomes the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Well, the Brady Bunch was kind of
right.
an ideal. And also, both of their previous spouses were gone. I don't
right.
know if they passed away or what they did, but they just disappeared. So
yeah.
they didn't have
yeah.
to deal with, I mean, they had no grandparents, they had no cousins,
yep.
they had nothing.
Exactly. It was the perfect
and
the
real family doesn't have that.
No, and there's a bubble, and then there's the grandparents who are maybe spending more money on Christmas on their natural grandchildren than their step grandchildren, they don't understand what's the difference. This is my grandma and grandpa. They don't get that there would be a difference in what they should be getting, and there's so many issues with it.
Absolutely, and there's so many opportunities for hurt feelings.
Yep.
And I think it's impossible to do it perfectly, but there are definitely some things you can do to make it easier.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. So Kelly, did you seek out new contributors for this forthcoming book, or are they going to be the same people, or are you seeking out new people because the targeted age is different?
You know, and it wasn't because of the age, but I am. It's all new people so far, at least. And the reason, well, I guess there are two reasons. One, I kind of didn't want to go back to tap the same well, because these, again, are terrifically busy women. And by virtue of their success, they don't have a lot of time. So I didn't want them to feel like, oh, gosh, here she comes again. Leave me alone. So I didn't want to burden anybody. But at the same time, I also wanted to give opportunities to a different group of women. I wanted to hear what other people had to say. So these are all going to be different people.
I think it's just so cool that celebrities took time to you're right. These are incredibly busy women. I mean, they're jet setting all over the place. They've got such busy lives, and this mattered to them enough that they were willing to donate time for it. That, you like you said, they're not really getting anything back. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
you know, except the knowledge that they were helpful. So who's the person that you really 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 want to contribute? Like, do you have like a big get that this is the person I've got to have?
There's a couple. You know, I think. And maybe it's because I grew up watching Oprah. I really wanted to see what Oprah would say.
Oh, my,
but Oprah's
yeah.
really hard to talk to. I mean,
right.
she's hard to get a hold of. She is so incredibly busy, so incredibly spread thin. So I haven't managed that one yet. But there's also a couple of young Hollywood I would love to get. You know, Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone, I think, have shown that they're living their lives with integrity. They don't seem to be so caught up in the trappings of their fame. But you know, you never know. There's, by virtue of them being so famous, unfortunately, they're also so busy, which makes it
right.
very challenging.
Yeah.
Do you
that
have suggestions? Do you have suggestions of who I should be looking into?
Ooh, wow.
Put you in the spot.
I'd go right to like, you know, because my thing is country music. I love country music. I would go like to some of the country music people. You know, Miranda Lambert is somebody who's, you know, girls are paying attention to right now. She's kind of like a crossover. You know, there are Pink. Oh my gosh, I'll tell you what, Pink has come out with some incredibly intelligent, I mean, she's a genius. This woman is so friggin' smart. She said some really empowering things, quotes that I've seen, because I follow her a little bit. I've noticed some things she's put out that are empowering to women of all ages. You know, oh, I could probably go on, and you know, my list would probably be so different because I, you know, everybody's list is going to be different of who they'd want because that's who they're kind of, you know, what is fitting into their life at the time, you know.
Well, right, and that's why I have been trying to solicit suggestions from other people because I didn't want it just to be my view
right.
on the world and who I think of.
Right.
So I've gotten amazing suggestions from friends, from family, from colleagues. It's been really great.
Yeah, there are some really, you know, there are some really important people out there, and some of them are raising their own kids. Some, you know, so they've got it from both perspectives. Some of them, just because of their, I guess, their creativity and things, experience things differently. You know, I think sometimes a creative soul has a tendency to be a deeper thinker, and a deeper thinker finds more problems in the world, you know, and more things that affect them.
Sure, and they oftentimes can be more sensitive because
absolutely.
Of that sensitivity, feel pain in a different way.
Absolutely, and that's why I think it's so, you know, getting into, like, the people in music and people, you know, those people that are, like, when I said Miranda Lambert, not only is she an incredible entertainer, she's an incredible singer, she's an incredible songwriter, you know, obviously Taylor Swift, I mean, hello, you know, she'd be like getting Oprah, I think, at this point.
And just as hard, probably, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But she's I watched The Voice. I don't know if anybody else watches mm-hmm. The Voice. I watched The Voice, and she was the coach for, like, the overall coach for I think they call it a guest coach, or I don't know, something. The for being as young as she is, the stuff she says, the stuff she knows, and the advice that she's giving people. It was really good. I've been really impressed. And she was one of those ones that was like, okay, too much. You need your own radio station. You know, we should be able to turn into the Taylor Swift station. I'm sick of every other song on the radio being a Taylor Swift song. So I'm like, go away, go away. But and all of a sudden she's matured, and she's writing differently, and she's really showing how incredibly intelligent she is.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
I have a suggestion, ladies, too. You know, my guest, our guest last week, Abigail Rich, has an incredible story. And she was so inspiring. She is now a glamour model and an actress, but prior to that, she was a paramedic and was involved in a horrible accident in a medical helicopter that she was not predicted to survive. And she made this miraculous recovery. But even prior to that, I mean, she was the product of a mother that didn't want her and grew up in the foster system, even though she had grandparents nearby, and she did see them. But I'll tell you, she was so just grateful to be alive and to have these opportunities, and she's just an overcomer. And so, I don't know, I mean, I don't know if you're looking for a real huge celebrity, but she is somebody that I would definitely look into because she inspired me last week, that's for sure.
That's a great suggestion. And you're right. It's not, they're not all huge celebrities. Because, again,
right.
I don't want it to be limited.
Right.
I want it
right.
to be people at various stages. And they aren't all traditional celebrities. There's people in politics. There's women in business. There's women in academia. So it's really women from a variety of successes.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because we're thinking superstars here. You know, when you're thinking
mm-hmm.
about this, you're thinking the superstars, and there are so many people like Abigail who have been through so much and have some, you know, some amazing, amazing inspirational. They have an inspirational story and some amazing things that they've learned from it. And you know, it's funny because I keep talking about how wise people become, and I just had a conversation. With my dad, and he's like, he said something about getting older. You know, there's not a whole lot. What do we old people contribute? I'm like, are you kidding me? It's wisdom. You know, it's your wisdom. It's all the things you've already been done there. You know, done, got the ticket. You know, got the T-shirt. Whatever they tell you, whatever they say. And you know, they've already lived it. And there's so much wisdom in older people too. So, you know, that's another avenue to think about is people, you know, some of the Maya Angelou, obviously it's a little late, she passed away, but
unfortunately.
Yes, I loved her. I was so sad when she died. But you know what's funny is,
I did contact a few of them are in the book, but a few of the older celebrities didn't want to do the book because they felt that either the teenagers wouldn't know who they were, which was ridiculous.
Right.
One of them, I was like, you're insane. Any teenager who doesn't know who you are should just go away.
Yeah.
But also that they wouldn't be listened to because of their age.
Right.
And it's and what you're saying is true. There's a wisdom that comes with age that we don't have until we have been kind of refined and experienced and we've been through it.
Yeah, I think
and there
that's...
And there's some that felt like a book for teenagers, no, I'm not the right fit.
Right, and that's so not the reality of it. You don't have to be a huge celebrity, or a celebrity at all, really, to have incredible advice and have a lot to say, to offer all age groups. You know, I mean, I just think back of all the things my mom and dad said to me. My dad, especially, you know, he was always when I was complaining because my kids were 10 and a half months apart. 10 and a half months apart, pretty close together, right? Nobody plans that. Yeah, so 10 and a half months apart, and I'm like working full time. I'm dragging this double stroller around. Everything was plus another one, you know, so every baby thing I had to have two. It was like having twins, only. No, I didn't get as much sympathy. And one of the things he said to me, he's like, Lisa, slow down. Enjoy this. This is going to be, before you know it, in the blink of an eye, your kids are going to be grown up. And you're going to be like, wow, why did I wish all those days away? Why did I wish that time away? And damn it, if he wasn't right. I do all the time. I'm like, how did you get so how did you become this grown up? How did you were just born, you know? And it's so true. So it's just, you know, crazy little life stuff that they have to offer. That's so cool.
Kelly, do you have a favorite piece of advice in your book?
Well, you know, there's a few. One of the first pieces of advice I received was from Kat Graham. She's from Vampire Diaries. She's a singer. She's a dancer. She's amazing. And she really hit something that I think teenagers struggle with, and that's the illusion of what celebrity is. So she talked about, you know, when you see me in a magazine, when you see me on TV, that's not me. That's not what I look like. I have been in makeup for hours. I've had my hair done. I have special lighting. They have done things to distort my image to make me look thinner or taller or, you know, acne-free. And, you know, she really hit home for them that you can't compare yourself to magazines and to TV and to movies and all of those things because you're comparing yourself to something that's not real.
Yeah.
And I've
that's
seen
important.
A lot of that in my practice, you know, teenagers who are trying to get so thin because they want to look like a celebrity or they're so dissatisfied with their own physical appearance because they feel like it doesn't compare. And so I loved the fact that she was kind of, okay, I'm ripping away the veil here. This is not real.
Right. And, you know, you notice that stuff. If you're somebody who watches, like, the award shows, you know, you see these people come on, and even then, they've been in, they're wearing Spanx. Their Spanx are wearing Spanx, I'm sure. And, you know, and they've got their hair done, and they're in this you know, $1,000 or $10,000 gown, whatever. A number I'm not comfortable ever spending on a dress, and all of this, but you see them a little more real then, because there is none of the touch up, and there is none of the, you know, the special lighting, you know, to make them look thinner or taller or whatever, and I think that gives you a little bit more of an idea. But my gosh, what they do to somebody, you know, and I just saw my kids' high school pictures when my kids graduated, what they can do. I mean, what they can do to make every little blemish that they had, brush it away with their senior pictures. And that was just a local studio. You know, I can't even imagine what they do in Hollywood.
Well, and every once in a while, a celebrity will tweet out in protest, for instance, of an image that has been so airbrushed that they don't feel like they look like themselves anymore. And they'll send kind of a before and an after and go, this is not what I look like.
Right.
I know a model, I wish I could remember her name, but a model did it recently, and they had distorted this, of course, already gorgeous, she's a model, But they had distorted her body to such a point that she's like, I'm a size 6. They made me like a negative 0.
Yeah.
I mean, they made her so scrawny.
Yeah.
And had done so much to her that she was horrified and was worried about the image that this was going to send out to girls. And you also have to remember, these people who are going to award shows have been working with a personal trainer, working with a nutritionist. Some of them do those kind of juice fasts beforehand to drop weight so that their strength is holding them away.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're not, I mean, these are not regular people.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, you know, go to work 9 to 5 and, you know, pick up the kids and have to swing home and figure out what to make for dinner. Typically.
Right. And
there's some of them that might do that.
Part of what their job is staying that size negative 0 or that size, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they are. It's about working out. I mean, you know, I talk with, once in a while, I'll tweet privately with Leanne Rimes, who is another country music star, and you know, she's another one. She has some really great things to say, and she's very inspirational, and she's been through a lot, and she was another child star and all of that. But she'll do that. She'll put the before and after. She'll put the picture with no makeup. Hey, this is what I really look at. Oh, holy crap, look what I look like now, you know. And she'll do that same thing. And she you know, she's made some comments about you know, how much she works out. I mean, she works out and how much she diets. You know, it's like it's not dieting. It's changing her relationship with food. She just eats different foods. You know, it's really unbelievable. So there are I totally think, you know, they can afford, if you're a celebrity, you can afford somebody you know, to work out with you. You can afford a personal trainer. You can maybe afford a nutritionist or a personal chef or something like that. And that, you know, that definitely makes things a little different than the average teenage girl.
Definitely. Well, and Leanne Rimes is somebody who's been attacked because of her body quite a bit.
Yeah.
Either,
yeah.
you know, she's gaining weight and therefore then they say she's pregnant, or then they criticize her and say she's too thin. I mean, she's really been on the receiving end of a lot of negative commentary about her appearance.
Yeah. I think I've gone up with so many people that have made rude comments about her on Twitter. It's ridiculous. And I never, ever comment on any of the negative stuff. But, wow, they just attack her viciously sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. She goes from being anorexic to pregnant. You know, I'm like, really? What was she, too thin, too fat? What's the deal? You know? And the honest truth is she works out a lot. She eats really well. And then, but I'll tell you what, if you she'll, every once in a while, you'll see her, you know, munching down on a Snickers bar or something. If she wants it, she has it. And she just makes up for it with working out, you know?
Right.
Well, I
Kelly, where can get your book? I just want to make sure I ask this question.
Yeah,
I don't know that we actually gave out a website or anything for the book.
No,
so let us know what we can.
Yeah, and her, everyone, her website, we did put it in the chat room. Daria typed it in the chat room a little while ago. It's kellytonelli.com. That's KellyTonelli. And you can, I'm sure, find out more about Kelly at that website. But I'm assuming, is it going to be Amazon and all of that? Where is it going to be available?
You know, it's going to be available everywhere. It's already up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of that for pre-order.
Cool.
But it'll be mailed out after the 11th.
All right, that's awesome.
So
awesome.
Do you have a special website just for the book that people can check out?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a special website just for the book that
there's there's lifelessonsbook.com and there's hyphens between.
Okay.
And that's an actual, that website is just for the book.
Right.
They can also, like you said, look at my website. They can go to my Twitter, which is just @Dr_Tonelli. And they can check out my blog too if they'd like.
Yeah, I really appreciate your being on the show. I think, again, this is a really important topic. I just think that, you know, we've got to really pay attention to teenagers, and you know, we focused a lot on girls today, but boys have their own issues as well. And you know, I don't want to, you know, that's
that's not what we're talking about right today. But I mean, there are a lot of issues for teens, and I think that it's awesome that you put something like this together, and that you got the celebrities. I mean, the concept behind the book is awesome. Getting people that are going to that teenage girls are going to listen to, you know, that's really great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so everyone, Kelly's book comes out, Life Lessons for the Teenage Girl, Quotes, Inspiration, and Advice for Women by Women. It's going to be coming out on November 11th, which is just next Tuesday. So everyone, pick up a copy of that. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or I guess anywhere books are sold. And thank you again, Kelly, for being on the show. It was really great.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I just love that whole, I love the concept that behind the book of getting celebrities, because, you know, that's who teenagers listen to. That's who they're paying attention to. You know, they're paying attention to the actress in the movie or the actress on TV or the person on the cover of, you know, of Cosmo, or, you know, the model on the cover of Cosmo, and these, you know, singers and songwriters and things. So I love that's how she took the book. That's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, very clever. I like
yeah.
that, too.
Yeah, awesome. All right, everyone. So that's Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss for this week. We went a couple minutes over, but, you know, it was a great subject, and we really don't have an over. I mean, you know, we say it's an hour, but sometimes we're a little over an hour. That's just the way the show rolls. That's how Daria and I roll. Right, Daria?
That's right. We can talk for a full 2 hours if we choose.
Absolutely.
With
easy,
our Blog Talk Radio account.
Yep, absolutely.
Let me just say really quick, though, because I brought up Abigail Rich earlier, but I have to tell you, I was blown away by her last week. Somebody that had so many hardships in life that just has her stuff together, and she's very grounded and very humble, and just an amazing, amazing person. So anybody that missed last week's show, definitely listen to it in the archive. Of course, you can listen to all of our shows at blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. But I'll tell you, she ranks right up there with one of my very favorite guests. She was just such a delight, kind of like Josie Milner. But in Abigail's case, I mean, she's 30 years old. She's been through a whole heck of a lot in her young adult life. But just she's never been a woe-is-me type of person. It just has always been very tough. And I think the fact that she was able to overcome a horrible crash in a helicopter while she was working on a patient – and was not even expected to live. I mean, she went through multiple surgeries, and they pretty much told her foster family, you know, forget it, she's not going to be around. And eventually she proved them wrong and walked right out of the hospital. So just one of our most inspiring guests that we've had on today.
Yeah, I was sorry. I wasn't able to be on that show, and I was really sorry I missed it, because I was looking forward to talking with her just from her story. You know, when I got her bio, I was like, wow. I mean, I couldn't believe, and I kept thinking, she's got to be like 60. How could all of this happen to one person in 30 years? You know, it was unbelievable, because she'd been through so much, and she's a beautiful person. I mean, just inside and out, really seems like a really great person. And definitely, everyone, pick that up in the show. You can catch all of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss's shows at blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. But you can also find Daria's show, which is Rightstream Tuesday, my show, which is Just Believe, and our other shows, which are Military Monday, Speculative Fiction Cantina. I have such a trouble saying that. You know, are also great shows that are on, and we're looking for a Saturday show. So, everyone, if you're interested. Oh, and I forgot. I don't have any of my notes in front of me, so here you go. Wednesday, our show on Wednesday. Has it launched yet?
It hasn't launched yet, but I've been in touch with Alan, and I know he's just had one thing after another. But now he's like, we're definitely doing the show. It will be this month. We'll be on Wednesdays, and it'll be SEO strategies with Snapperhead. I'm hoping it can be this coming Wednesday, but I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, all right. That sounds good. And follow us. You can follow Daria at on Twitter at Daria Ann. You can follow me at Lisa Tarvis on Twitter. We put all this stuff. I mean, I think out of all the social media sites, Daria and I spend most of the time on Twitter, you know, putting a lot of the information about all of the stuff on the Right Stream Network is doing. So not only do we promote our own shows, but we're promoting all of the shows on the network. And so you will find out more about SEO strategies with Snapperhead as soon as we have a for sure launch date for that show and all the other great stuff. And everyone, don't forget, Monday's Military Monday is actually going to be combined with Daria's Right Stream Tuesday, because Tuesday not only is Kelly Tonelli's book released, but it's also Veterans Day. And so they're going to do a combined show, which I think is a fantastic idea. I'm really excited about that. So everyone, tune into that at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Is it still at 1?
Yeah, it's going to be at 1. And I'm really excited about it because John, he's so much fun to co-host with.
Yeah.
And he has such an in-depth knowledge. Obviously, he spent his whole career writing military books and even, you know, fictional books based on the military and studying military history. So I feel like John has a deeper understanding of what they go through. So I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's going to be a great show this Sunday on Just Believe. I don't know. I have Dr. Linda Salvin, I think is her. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. You know, I don't find anything out until the last minute. Before we go on air, I'm like, how do you say your last name? But anyway, her name is. Yeah, you know, just a little scatterbrain. Linda Salvin, who is going to be doing reading, she's really fantastic for us on Sunday, on Just Believe at 7 p.m. And we're still looking for a show for Saturday. So we're still looking for a Saturday show. Anyone who wants to host a radio show, either a ghost haunting paranormal show. Or a maybe a health and fitness, health and wellness show, or something more. What was our other thing we were thinking about?
Like a life coaching type of show.
Oh,
you know,
life
somebody
coaching.
Who's sort of a mentor, life coach, motivational type of speaker, author, host.
Yeah.
That would be
yeah,
awesome.
That's something we're looking for. Yeah, on Saturdays, and one of those subjects, or if somebody else has a better idea, maybe, you know, somebody is smarter than us out there, it's possible, and has a better idea of something we're not covering on the Right Stream Network and wants to contact us, you can go to rightstreamradio.com. It's Right Stream, by the way, with a W, rightstreamradio.com, and you can go to the contact us page and contact us, send us an email. Daria and I will both get it. We'll look it over. If you have any questions or comments about any of our shows, you can also use that website to contact us there. You can find more out about me at lisatarvis.com. And Daria?
Yes, you can find me at dariadigiovanni.com.
So that's it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will be back next week with another fantastic guest. Of course, I shut the window, so I don't remember who it is, but we will be back next Thursday for another Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, and we'll talk to everyone then. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.